We're still in Acts chapter 2. We've been talking about the Spirit-driven church and what that looks like, how it gets demonstrated. So we started with this passage of Scripture last week, and we talked about this idea that we find in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I want to read that again to you this morning as our text, and then kind of follow up with last week's message, moving on into today's sermon. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." God, once again, I just pray that you would use your word for your glory. Amen. Last week I asked the question, what are you devoted to? And we're going to kind of follow up with that again on this second part of the second idea here of what the early church devoted themselves to. Last week we talked about the apostles' teaching, the teachings about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and how we should live as a result of those teachings if we really believe what we say we believe about Jesus Christ. So we talked about the apostles' teaching. Today I want to take it to the next step. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And I'm going to stop there. What does it mean to live in Christian fellowship? I want us to think about that. What does fellowship actually mean? It means this: it's a community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience, maybe a company of equals or friends. The Greek word translated as fellowship in this context is koinonia. I'm sure if you've been around the church much, you've heard that word used. And what that simply means is that word is defined as an association or community, communion, or joint participation. You'll notice a word there that it keeps coming up: communion, community. We talked about this some Wednesday evening, and not actually by design, it just kind of went there. And I said, well, you're going to hear more about this Sunday, just give you a little bit of a preview. The NIV, which is what I read the text from, uses the word, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship." But I want you to think about something else here. The Common English Bible now says community there instead of fellowship. They devoted themselves to the community. And that's what this passage is referring to. So what is it talking about? There are two different levels of fellowship, I think, that I want us to understand here. The first one is in the broader sense, the spiritual sense. When we come together in worship, when we come together in communion, when we come together in what we would call, to some degree, fellowship this morning, is actually more of a community gathering. What does that mean? The word fellowship here goes deeper than we normally consider fellowship to be. What held them together in community was the common bond that they had in their newly discovered faith. So community is more of a spirit or attitude than it is an action. So for the first part of this, what does it mean that they devoted themselves to the fellowship or to the community? Here's what I want us to understand when we talk about actual fellowship. The first thing is this: fellowship requires that we have something in common, some type of a connection. If we're going to fellowship with people, if we're going to get to know people in an actual community, there are things that bring us together. There's a common bond or a common interest. I started playing this thing when I was in fifth grade. I played all the way through high school, in college. You think, well, it's a trumpet. It's a musical instrument. What does that have to do with fellowship or community? If we talk about fellowship being based on a common bond or some type of a connection, can you imagine all the different connections that have come in my life through playing that one instrument? My best friend all through high school, who was actually, I spent more time with him than I did my own family members sometimes because of all the different things we were doing in band and music. The different connections I've made in churches and the relationships that I've built in all the different places that I've had the opportunity to take part in music and play that. The places it has taken me and allowed me to see there are connections that I will have until the day I die simply because of a common interest or a common bond and a connection that I developed through playing a trumpet. You're over here shaking your head. He knows what I'm talking about. All the trips I went on, all the hours I spent with people in the band and marching band and concert band and jazz band, all those different things. There are connections that will never be lost. My high school band director has long since retired, but he's still living. And you know what? We're still in contact on Facebook. And once in a great while, I'll call him on the phone. And we'll talk because of, wasn't just a teacher, it was a connection and a relationship that I was able to build because of that. There are connections that I have to this day. There are relationships that I have to this day because of the 14 years that I put on the uniform of the Missouri Army National Guard, and I spent weekend after weekend and week after week with those people. Connections and a sense of community and fellowship that will be with me for the rest of my life. Connections, things in common that came about because of my professional interest in my job in those 5 years, almost 5 years that I spent as a Johnson County, Kansas deputy sheriff. There are still people to this day that I have relationships with because of that connection. You see, the things that we have in common can come from so many different areas. It might be a professional interest. It might be a social interest. It might come from political interest or a spiritual interest. Have any idea? How many of us have pretty much been in church, whether it's this church or another, all of our, pretty much most of our lives? How many relationships and connections do you have that maybe you've even forgotten about because of all those years of common spiritual interest with other people? What held the church together in the early days when it was first getting started was their common connection of their faith in Jesus Christ, their belief in who he was, their belief in the way he lived, their belief in all those things we talked about last week. Fellowship requires that we have something in common, some kind of a connection, whether that's from a secular or spiritual context. So here's the next thing. When we're talking about the overall spiritual community or the spiritual fellowship that we have as a group, Christian fellowship is conditional. Christian fellowship is conditional. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I want you to turn to 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John. It's closer to the back, almost to Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. I want to read these words to you and just listen to this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Christian fellowship is conditional upon being what? A Christian. It's conditional upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't experience Christian fellowship without being in relationship with God. And if we're walking in darkness or sin, it keeps us out of that fellowship and that relationship. It keeps us outside of the community of faith. We can know other people who are Christians. We can live in, we can have a relationship and a friendship, close relationships and friendships with people who aren't Christian, but it doesn't mean we're in Christian fellowship with them or with one another. I can't claim to be in fellowship with God if I'm not living in relationship to him. The Gospel of John chapter 3 is a very famous part of Scripture where Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, one of the teachers of the law, comes to Jesus in private at night in kind of a secret meeting and says, look, we know that you're from God. You wouldn't be able to do all the things you're doing if you weren't. But I don't understand. And Jesus gives him a one-on-one Sunday school lesson about what it means to be born again and what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. And that relationship with Christ is required to be in fellowship with God and to become a part of the kingdom of God. It's conditional. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. You see, maintaining fellowship is conditional on our spiritual walk. Are we living and walking in relationship with him? I told you last week, what does it mean to live? What does it mean to for our life to match up with what we say we believe? 1 John chapter 2 tells us, as I told you last week, that anyone who claims to be in Christ needs to walk as Jesus walked, living in fellowship, doing what Jesus did. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. What does that mean? What's walking in the light mean? It means doing what you know to do is right according to Scripture. It means doing what you know God has instructed us is the right thing. Do we all have the same amount of light spiritually? No. A brand new Christian doesn't know as much about living in relationship with Christ as someone who's walked with Christ for 50 or 60 years. It doesn't work that way. So here's what you need to do. In order to walk in the light, just live your life according to what you know God has shown you to that point and do your best to follow him. And as we grow, he'll give us more. He shows us more. He reveals more to us. It's called growing in grace. But if we walk in that light, that knowledge, then we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with other believers. In a Christian sense. Now, there is the idea of personal fellowship as well. This is where we see the most common activity that we associate with the word fellowship. We have a thing back here called a fellowship hall. Now, I know it's used for Sunday school and all that kind of stuff, but when we say fellowship hall, let's be honest, what do I think of? I'm going to go eat. That's what we think of. And as you can see, I like it. I like to eat. But that's part of the bigger picture of what fellowship and community is all about. It's that personal fellowship. They shared meals together. They devoted themselves to spending time together, not only in the temple, not only in their home, but in their homes as well. And it shows a desire for us to know one another better. They built relationships based on their common faith, and these relationships brought them closer to one another and closer to God, and that's how the church should work still even today. That's how it should work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but that's the pattern. Here's the third thing I want us to understand about Christian fellowship this morning. It results in compassion for fellow believers. Did you see what happens here later in Acts chapter 2? It says all the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and gave them to anyone as they had need. Have you ever had another fellow Christian come to you and give you something because they sensed that you needed it or because they felt like God was telling them to do that? I have. We have. And it's an incredible thing, not because we were the beneficiary of it, but God has the ability to talk with people who are living in fellowship with Him and with other Christians. And when we're in fellowship with other Christians, we have concern about other Christians and we want to try to help them whenever we can and in whatever way we can. The time a couple came to me when we lived in and pastored in southern Missouri, and this couple actually was one of those connections I built. I started working for the sheriff's office the same day this other guy did. We went through training together. We did a lot of stuff together. He stayed there longer than I did. We were already pastoring in southern Missouri. I was in Walmart one day, and I looked up, and here come walking behind me a guy named Mick. And we both did a double take, and about the same time, he didn't know I lived there. He didn't know I was pastoring at church. We looked at each other and at exactly the same time said, "What are you doing here?" Come to find out, he was from Joplin. His wife was from Sykeston. And one of their plans all along after getting married was to find property somewhere about halfway between Joplin and Sykeston so that when they retired or when they decided to move back, they could build a house and be kind of halfway in between both sets of parents. The place they chose was about 6 miles south of West Plains. Short story is they ended up moving there. They built a house, and in the process of building their house, how many of you have ever built a house or you know it's expensive? You're building a house, you don't have a lot of extra money laying around. There was another couple in our church who, he was a really hard worker, just worked his tail off, one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen. But his wife had a lot of health problems, had brain tumor surgery and different things like that, and they were struggling financially at this certain point in time. And Mick came to me, and he said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." So we went in my office and found a quiet place. And he handed me a check for $1,000. He said, "I feel like God is telling me to give this $1,000 to this other couple in the church who I know is struggling. But," he said, "I don't want them to know where it came from." So we worked out a way where we could do that. And when I took that check for $1,000 and knocked on the door, husband was out working laying concrete. The wife came to the door. I stood on the front porch. I said, "Look, I can't tell you where this came from. All I know is someone came to me and said, I feel like God wants me to give this to you guys." And when she saw the check, she broke down in tears and fell on her knees right there in the doorway. And she said, "You don't know how much we needed this." She took me, and they did not have a thing in their refrigerator. They had no groceries. They had no food, struggling to make house payments. See, Christian fellowship results in having compassion for fellow Christians. When Blenda had her back surgery and was off work, it took her almost a year just to learn to rehab and learn to be able to walk again. And we were receiving some disability through a short-term disability plan that she had, but obviously it wasn't the same as when she was working, and we were doing our very best to get by, and more than once I walked in the church and in my office There was an envelope sitting on my desk with sometimes several hundred dollars in it. Don't know who it came from. Just a little handwritten note said, "We love you and we're praying for you." Because they knew there was a need. It's incredible when the community of believers works the way it's supposed to work. We have compassion for one another. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read this. I just want to read some of this to you. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable, we treat with modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment or attention. God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. Listen to verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And what happens when we live in Christian fellowship? We all work together for the good of the entire body. We see each member as important. We see and recognize our gifts and our role so that we can fulfill our job in the body as well as possible. We suffer together. We celebrate together. We laugh together and we cry together. Why? Because that's what community does. That's what the fellowship of believers does. That's what we do when we're living in Christian fellowship with one another. How do we do that? By making sure we're in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we can't live in fellowship with him or with other people if we're not. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship or the community and to the breaking of bread. They did life together. And that's what it means to be a part of a Christian community or be a part of a Christian fellowship, to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you today, maybe challenge you. Let's make sure, number one, that our relationship with Christ is where it needs to be. And then let's do our very best to fulfill the role in the body of Christ that he has gifted and enabled us to be for the good of ourselves and for the good of others. Let's do our best to have that connection and to live in fellowship with one another. Father, today, Thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth that we find in it. And God, I pray that you would help us to realize the importance of loving one another, of loving you, being in relationship with you, so that we can be in the right relationship with our friends and neighbors. So God, I just pray that as we leave this service today, that you would be with us throughout this week, the days ahead. Help us to be aware of the opportunities that we have to encourage and help one another. And Lord, help us in everything that we do, everything that we say, every place we go, to bring glory and honor to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.